Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Good morning. Thank y'all for playing for us this morning. I'm so glad the kids are here to sing. Woohoo! And I see the choir back there. Yes, yeah. They were here at like 7:50 this morning. So thank y'all for being here. Thanks, parents, for doing double duty this morning. If you're watching from home, thank you for watching from home. Thank you for joining us in worship. This is how we pray for each other. It's also how we, if you're a newcomer, it's how we get your information. So please sign in. If you just put your name, we pray for you by name. If you put your needs, we pray for you by needs. So there's somebody actually during the service that will be praying for you. So please fill that out. Do y'all ever get with your, like your cell phone and it gets locked up? You know what I mean? It's like it gets locked sideways or upside down or whatever. If that ever happened, I got to call my 9-year-old grandson to help me fix it when that happened, you know. But this is what you do. You go, and I actually have Shallon's phone, not mine, so I probably can't even take it off. But you pull on my phone, you pull it up like this. That's not going to work on yours. You pull it up, and there's this little setting. You got to go to the guts of the cell phone. There's this little setting, and you unlock the lock, right, to get it right side up. Y'all, we've been talking about what it means to be His, right? His children, His sheep, His friends. This week, we're talking about His executive team, His managers. And for a lot of us, we're locked upside down, or we're locked sideways. We're living just like the world, and we need Jesus to come in this morning and just touch our hearts and turn us right side up. All right, that's what I pray happens here this morning. I'm so glad that you're here. Let me tell you, it's going to be a great day of worship, especially because all of y'all kids are leading us in worship this morning. We're going to start with this. I want to pray for us, and we're going to start with a video. Lord Jesus, thank you so much just for every person here. God, we came in this room with all kinds of stuff going on in our lives, and we don't leave that. That comes with us. So when we come into this house, it's our heart, it's our desire to bring all of that, to just cast all our cares upon you, because we know that you care for us. So Lord, meet us here today and touch us. Go into that setting of our hearts and make us right side up. Lord, we're turned all kinds of crazy directions this morning. Turn us right side up, facing you, following you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord God, this morning, we just pray that right there. That you may be present here this morning and filling every single person here with the full measure of all the fullness of God. Come, Lord, and fill us. And do, Lord, more than we do, immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work even now, right this morning, in every single person here. Jesus, now we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power in the glory forever. Amen. Y'all, this morning, there was something happened back when we planned Block Party. I don't remember what it was. What's that stuff? It falls out of the... Oh, it rained. That's right, yeah. So anyway, we didn't have Block Party, so we're doing a fall festival, and it is our Block Party. It's our way to just open our arms to the whole city of Lubbock, especially to the IQ 3450 neighborhood, and just to love on them like Jesus loves us. And our whole hope and purpose is that the people of our community will feel and know that Jesus loves them, because we have bounce houses, because we have hot dogs, because we have the cakewalk. But just especially because we, the church here at St. Luke's, the Christ Center Family of Grace, we just love on them like Jesus loves on us. So here's what I'm going to ask. First, out in the back, I don't know how many, there's probably 10 different little packets that need their door hangers that need to be delivered in the neighborhood. In IQ 3450, right? Indiana Quaker 34 to 50th. And so it's basically you walk about a half mile one way and a half mile the other, and you've covered your street, all right? So please take those. And then... all of y'all, we had everything covered in the, in fact, especially covered. We brought more cakes, I think, than we had ever brought before. And so all those cakes, in case you didn't know it, they went out all over the community. They went to schools. They went to nursing homes. They went to people that just we wanted to love on. But now guess what? We need the cakes again. And so if you can make cakes, baked goods of any kind, you can start bringing those tomorrow. Obviously, bring them by Wednesday, so we'll have them for Wednesday night. But here are the sign-ups that are coming around. One is for a registration table. And then on the other one is a setup team, takedown team, and cook teams. All right, so if you can sign up for any of this, it's muchly appreciated. And ushers, if y'all just make sure somehow or another this morning they make it all. There's two that are identical going this way and two identical going this way. All right, Lord Jesus, thank you that you love us and that you have called us to love this city. Lord, I pray we do that well this Wednesday night. I pray kids and adults, college students, whoever come, that they just feel and know your presence is, and your love for them is real. And so, Lord, use this, your church, to make a difference for you. As we pass the plates now, Jesus, receive our gifts, receive our love. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning, we're going to hear a story of Jesus. And as you hear this story, I pray you hear him. It's his story. It's all red letters. I mean, I know I'm doing it, and I got a really West Texas accent, but I wish you could just hear him. Just imagine him. Just see him telling this story. Hear and receive the word of the Lord, the word of Jesus this morning. Again, the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent. The new NISV is 5 bags of gold, 2 bags of gold, 1 bag of gold, all right? Then he went on his journey. And the man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one who had 2 talents gained also 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. I love this line. Come and share. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering wheat where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. So here's what belongs to you, all dusty, right, and dirty. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would at least have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give to the one who has the 10. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Lord Jesus, this morning, you come and you teach us and you touch us and you change us. Lord, we know that we came in here with all kinds of stuff going on, right, in our lives. But we also know that we came in here with all these incredible, wonderful gifts that you have given us. gifts of financial resources, gifts of family, gifts of talents and skills and abilities and experience. So Lord, just come. And as you love us, as we understand more and more and more that we belong to you, God, you do a work in us that doesn't just change us, but it truly begins to change this world around us. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Y'all can be seated. So I know if you look around nowadays, there's a mismanagement everywhere you look. The federal government, the state governments, the humongous corporations, local churches, pastors, everywhere there seems to be folks who are not taking care of business, not taking care of people in a way that honors God. I don't know if you remember 20 years ago, it was WorldCom and Enron and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And then 15 years ago, 2007, Herbert and Marion Sandler, they're from Golden West Financial. That was her company in California, a California-based savings and loan. And they sold their company for $24 billion to Wachovia. Now, Herbert and Marion pocketed $2.4 billion personally from that sale, $2.4 billion. And of course, if you remember, what they sold Wachovia was a bunch of failing and destined to be failed mortgages. But it didn't matter because they got theirs. Yeah, they got their $2.4 billion, right? And then there was Lehman Brothers CEO Richard Fuld, who took a $22 million bonus in 2007 just before his company entered bankruptcy in 2008. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for some different management. This morning we're talking about godly management of our lives and what that might look like. So this morning, four principles of godly management. Management principle number one: God is the owner. Not you, not me. God is the owner. If I say, Janie and I, you know, we own our own house. Of course, what I mean is that our house belongs to us. What I mean is that we can do with it as we please. We can sell it. We can rent it. We can Airbnb it. We're in control. After all, it's our house. But that is just not what God's word teaches at all. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, everything belongs to the Lord. Psalm 93, for the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. It all belongs to Him. Exodus 19, 5. All the earth is mine, exclamation point. Deuteronomy 10, behold the Lord your God, behold to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heaven, the earth and all that is in it. Y'all, is it clear? I mean, I think it is, and yet I think we struggle. Man, we're raised in America, by golly. We're all about what we own. We're all about our individual autonomy. But Scripture is also abundantly clear that God is the owner. So three implications of God's ownership this morning. First, God owns us. God owns us. Look over at how Paul talks about it to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? This is His house. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Now look, I consider this that we're doubly bought. I mean, the moment we were created fearfully and wonderfully in our mother's womb, fearfully and wonderfully in His image, in that moment, we are His. But we're double bought because not just in that moment, in the moment when Jesus went to the cross and shed His blood for you and for me, we were bought there too. We belong to Him. Second implication of God's ownership, not just that God owns us, God owns things. God owns those things that we normally claim that we own. You know, our possessions, our houses, our cars, our bank accounts, our jewelry, our clothes, our big screen TVs, your diplomas on your wall. They're not yours, they're His. Our relationships, your spouse, your kids. You know, this is not my church or your church, our church. This is his church. I remember when Katrina happened down in Louisiana, 200 refugees stayed at our church in Ruston. And while they were there, I mean, they were sleeping in Sunday school classrooms, on the gym floor, in the hallways, you know, in the chapel. You know, they were everywhere. And I just remember one person saying, "Well, I just don't know how I feel about those people staying in my church." I'm going, "Dude, it's not your church. It's his church. Not just our possessions, it's our, not just our relationships. God owns the things, he owns our destinies, our identities, our future, our careers, our very lives, our relationships, our health, our families are his to do with as he desires." Man, that's hard. We like to stay in control. John Wesley understood this principle of God's ownership, and he wrote a prayer. It's called the Covenant Prayer. That early Methodists, they prayed this all the time, and we pray it on New Year's, the first Sunday in New Year's. We always pray this prayer, but I'm going to ask us to pray it this morning. It's a radical prayer. Can we pray it out loud? "I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed by you or laid aside by you, enabled for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven." Amen. Is that a radical prayer? In today's world, all that I am, Jesus, it's yours. God's ownership doesn't just mean that he owns us or owns the things. God's ownership means that when I let God own me, when I surrender, when I give up and just allow God to fully own me, guess what? Nothing else can own me then. All the stuff of this world can't get me then. The tendency is for the things that I possess to actually be what possesses me. I mean, my dishwasher, my yard, my lawnmower, my lake house, I really don't have one, my pension fund. Does all that stuff, you know, do I have all that stuff, or does all that stuff have me? You ever think about the more you get, the more you have to do? I mean, the more you accumulate, the more you got to work to take care of it. Possessions, we don't possess them, they possess us. Management principle number one is that God is the owner. Management principle number two is that management matters. Management matters. I mean, it's obvious when we hear the story of Jesus that what the servants do with their money, it makes all the difference in Jesus' way of looking at it. In Jesus' story, the servants are given 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. 5 bags of gold, 2 bags of gold, 1 bag of gold. A talent, by the way, is a year's wages. So I just use $50,000 as a year's wages. I know a lot of you make more, some make less. So one guy's given $250,000. Another guy's given $100,000, and the third person is given $50,000. So how they choose to use their money makes a difference, doesn't it? It made a difference to the owner. It made a difference to his kingdom and his property. And of course, it made a difference to the servants themselves. In their own lives, it made a difference. How they use what they've been given makes all the difference in whether or not they're cast into darkness or whether or not they receive the master's blessing. Let me be real clear. The teaching of this parable is not about just what we do with our money. It's about what we do with our lives. The teaching of Jesus is about what we do with the totality of what we've been given. I love verses 21 and 23. In the ESV, it says, "Enter into the joy of your master." Right? The NIV, we read it, "Come and share in your master's happiness." I read this week the story of Eddie Daniels. In fact, we read it for men's group. He's the mayor of Vienna, Georgia. Vienna's a town of about 4,000 residents, and Mayor Daniels was on his way to work early one Saturday morning when he saw an SUV stalled on the railroad tracks as a train was fast approaching. He said, "I couldn't let those babies sit there and be slaughtered by a train." And so he helped the mom out of the vehicle, then rescued a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old from the back seat. And he was helping a 6-year-old when the train hit the vehicle. He managed to get that child out, but Daniels himself had a broken ankle and 8 stitches in his head as a result. I think he's here with crutches, yeah. He said, I'm just out here just trying to do God's work, he said. That's what we're supposed to do, isn't it? And they told me I was a hero, but said, "I don't feel like a hero. I just feel like I was doing what God wanted me to do." I just felt like I was doing what the people elected me to do. Would you predict that he might be reelected next time around? But even more importantly, I think as they were interviewing Mayor Daniels from his hospital bed, I believe he understood what it was to share in his master's happiness. I think he understood what it means to enter into the joy of the master. I want to live like that, don't you? Where you're entering into the joy of the master. I don't want to just live like that. I want to give like that. This morning, God is the owner. And this morning, what you do in your management, in your leadership, in your places of influence, what you do matters. Management principle number 3 is the owner expects us to manage for growth. Expects us to manage for growth. We're expected to increase our influence, grow our impact, further our resources. It's clear from this teaching of Jesus that we are to invest our lives in such a way that they pay positive dividends for this world and for God's kingdom. So if you gave me $35, right? For $35, I think I could go to HTO for happy hour 10 times. I think I could go maybe to Starbucks for 7 times, right? I think Janie and I could go to Picosos to eat out 1 time. Or we can sponsor a little boy named Victorino until he reaches adulthood. You tell me which is the better investment. If exactly 1 year ago, you would have had $10,000 and you had the choice of putting that money in the stock market or putting that money in the church or some other kingdom ministry, which would have paid the bigger dividends? Most of you know your $10,000 on January 1 is now maybe worth about $6,000. Woohoo! Love that one, right? I wonder what it might have done, that $10,000, if it had been fully placed in his hands rather than the stock market. I wonder which investment would have really paid the most dividends, the most results. Please hear me. It's not just our money that God's interested in. It's our abilities, it's our gifts, it's our experience, it's our skills, it's our time, it's our passion. It didn't hurt anything, right, yesterday to just get to see Texas Tech win a great football game, I think. I mean, yesterday, if you did the Tech football game, you gave 6 hours or so to football, and it was so awesome, right? But what'd you gain? It didn't hurt anything to make that investment, but it sure didn't grow anything either. Sure didn't build the kingdom of God in any way. In fact, some of my actions and reactions were probably anything but godly yesterday. I love Ephesians 5. I think the kids sang it this morning. Ephesians 5. Look carefully then how you walk. Look carefully then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of that time. Making the most of the time. Because, y'all, the days are evil. What are you doing with what you've been given? We've all been given a very precious gift, the gift of life. Don't waste it. Invest it, grow it, use it wisely. I love the story of Osceola McCarty. This 87-year-old woman had been forced to drop out of school in the 6th grade to care for her family. For more than 60 years, she made a living washing clothes for hire in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, saving as much as she could from her meager pay. She wanted others to have the opportunity for education that she never received, and so she kept saving her money and saving her money and saving her money until she got 87, and she gave the money she had. She gave it all away. And so in 1995, Miss Osceola gave $150,000 to the University of Southern Mississippi for their scholarship fund, because she wanted to make the most of her time. She managed her life for growth and excellence. Our society values how much a person has. God values how much a person gives. It's not what we have. It's not how much we have. That's not what's important. It's what we do with what we have. That's what makes the difference. That's what counts. Management principle number 4, last principle. The ultimate evaluation of our management. The ultimate evaluation of our management is not from our peers, not from the possessions we accumulate, not from our portfolio or net worth, not from the popularity or power we may attain. Ultimately, the one who gets to say thumbs up or thumbs down is God Himself. Everyone else's evaluation of our management is meaningless. God's and God's alone is the only evaluation that counts. Jesus' story this morning is not, y'all, is not a story about gold, but rather a story about relationship, relationship with Him and responsibility to Him. It's not just what we do with our money that matters. It's what we do with our lives that makes the difference. Bottom line this morning is that we give because God is so freely and extravagantly given to us. Randy Alcorn says this: gaze upon Christ long enough and you'll become more of a giver. Give long enough and you'll become more like Christ. Dixie Fraley, missionary, said it maybe even more simply: we are most like God when we're giving. Jesus is clearly teaching us that how we give matters. Not how much, but how we give matters. Our choice this morning is, are we going to give reluctantly or are we going to give extravagantly? Are we willing to give like Jesus gives? I want to close this morning with just a few examples of extravagant giving. When we were in Chillicothe, this is back in the late 1980s, Mary D. Holden was in our church. She was over 80 at the time, maybe pushing 90, I don't even remember. But every time we had a funeral, every time we had a church dinner, every time anybody in the church got sick, Mary D. made these most beautiful and delicious chocolate pies that you could ever dream of. I mean, the chocolate felt like it was that thick in the meringue. I'm exaggerating, right? But it was beautiful. It was like famous baker made this chocolate meringue pie. And she spent hours and hours making these pies for Jesus. Oh, and she didn't just do it when she was old. She'd done it her whole life. She was single. I never had a husband, never had a big house. But she just made pies for Jesus. When we were at Louisiana Tech, Miss Hazel was a lady. She was a small lady, and she was older too. And Miss Hazel lived in a very simple house, a very nice, old, traditional Southern house. And we wanted to start an intern program. We didn't have enough money to pay an intern anywhere for an intern, pay enough money for an intern to live. And so Miss Hazel said, well, she can stay in my upstairs bedroom. So Kimberly, our first ever intern, moved into that upstairs bedroom. And it changed Kimberly's life, maybe Miss Hazel's too. All I know is that that year, first year, this was 1991, as we closed out the year, there was this, I mean, we were $15,000 down. We weren't going to be able to make salary. We weren't going to pay our bills. And that's just where we were. And I mean, all God says, God, help. And Miss Hazel, without knowing any of that, came into my office and she said, Andy, I want to give you 40 shares of this stock. Well, those shares turned out to be worth $400 each. If you're doing the math, that's $16,000. And Miss Hazel gave what she had. Texas Tech Wesley Foundation, we were there in the 90s, and a Christian businessman from La Mesa drove up to Lubbock, and he took Janie and me out to eat at Chili's. We had a great visit, talking about the ministry, all that kind of stuff, talking about what's going on, God was doing in their lives. And after dinner, this man handed me a check, and he said, "Andy, use this to change the world. Use this to raise up a new generation of Christian leaders." It was a check for $100,000. I'd never seen one of those before. A.W. and Scriven Thompson were just this couple that lived in Ruston, Louisiana. They lived in a small, modest home. Two of the most joyful, loving people you could ever know, you could ever meet. And they were so polite, so kind, so caring. It got to where they couldn't come to church anymore. And then it got to where they couldn't even come to M&M, you know, Mature Methodist dinner anymore. And so we packed up their lunches. We took the lunches to their house. And every time we showed up with, whatever the lunch was in a little styrofoam pack. I mean, it's like you were bringing them bags of gold. Oh, they were just so thankful. And they, I mean, you know, you're trying to love on them and they love on you back, right? And when A.W. and Scriven Thompson died, they gave over $10 million to the Lord's work. I mean, they gave it all to Jesus. You see, that's what happens when our extravagant God gets a hold of us. We can't help but become like him in our desire to give to others, to serve others. You see, when I'm hesitant to give, that's not just about my messed up management, you know, not just my messed up management style. It's about my messed up heart. One last story of extravagant giving. Y'all know the story. During the Second World War, Polish priest Maximilian Kolb was arrested by the German Gestapo for hiding Jews and Polish refugees from the Nazis. When three prisoners disappeared from the Auschwitz prison camp where Maximilian Kolb was being kept, the deputy camp commander issued orders to pick 10 men, three escaped, to pick 10 men to be starved to death in order to deter further escape attempts. One of these 10, it was a man named Francis Gajanowicz. And he began to cry out, "Oh, my wife, my children, I'll never see them again." And at this point, Kolb stepped forward. He removed his cap and he said, "I am a Catholic priest. Let me take this man's place. I am old, he is young, he has a wife and children. Let me take his place." Amazingly, the commander allowed his request. In the starvation cell, Kolb celebrated Mass every day, and he sang hymns with his fellow prisoners. And after 2 weeks of dehydration and starvation, only Kolb remained alive. Because the cell was needed for other prisoners, he was given a lethal injection. Those present when Kolb died say that he raised his left arm and praised to God, and he calmly waited to die. Kolb didn't give a single penny because he didn't have a penny to give. What he did give was his life, and he freely and sacrificially gave his life to Jesus. Y'all, this morning, I don't know where you are with all this story that Jesus told, but it's a really important story. It's at the very end of his ministry with his disciples, and he's just saying to them, guys, what you do with what you have is what matters. You letting me come and give you what I want to give you is critical. And then you giving that, multiplying that for the world is just as critical. So Lord, this morning we come and we just ask you, Lord, a lot of us, we don't have one bag, two bag, or five bags of gold. In fact, we may not have any gold. But Lord, what we do have today, we give to you. Because, Lord, we know, we understand that as we give ourselves to you, you'll take care of all the details. As we seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, then all these other things, they'll be taken care of. So, Lord, help us start there today. Help us to stop living like the world lives and start living like you lived. Start giving like you gave. We need you, Jesus. We can't do it on our own. So come, Jesus, and let us be your vessels of love and grace and healing for this world in which we live. In your name we pray. Amen. Y'all, this morning, you are His. You're His child, His son, His daughter. You are His friend. Remember last week? You are His sheep. And yes, you're His executive team. You're His managers. So use what you've been given to change this world for Him. He loves you. Receive His love. Offer His love to this world. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.